Hello, Lori. How are you today?
I am fine, thank you.
And I got your contact from Moylan Samuels, one of the good people over at Justice for Migrant Workers. I believe you have a relationship with them.
Yes, I do.
And what exactly do you do? I've been told that you're an advocate for migrant workers and that you live in Windsor. Am I right?
Yes, that is correct.
And can you just describe some of the work that you do in support of migrant workers and how you got to a place where you do this work?
Actually, I got to this space because of meeting different people here and there over the years that are migrant workers, especially through church. And there's always complaint about different complicated situation with your workers, and you know, I become a listening ears for them over the last while, and I always lend a helping hand wherever possible, assist them with whatever it is that they need, whether it's to go shopping or take them shopping or go shopping for them, because sometimes it's hard for them to be able to get to certain places. And it's very expensive for them. Say, for example, for people who are in Lymington to come to Windsor, it's very costly. So I would assist them, give them a ride for their shopping. And people are complaining sometimes about locking, say, for example, winter coat, warm clothes, especially when it's wintertime and they just come here for the first time. They don't have all those things and it take a while sometimes for them to get access to things like that. And whenever I can, I try and help out.
Wow. And
now with the new system,
Go ahead.
Now with the new system where they're asked, they're offered that they can write this English test in order to stay, to file permanent residency in Canada. I am trying my best to put the word out to a lot of people because not everybody knows about it on the farm. So I'm trying to reach as much people as I can to let them be aware of it. And I help to the point of even driving people as far as Brampton, Toronto to go write this test. So, no, I try helping when I can.
Wow, it seems like you're doing a lot. So tell me more about this English test, because I hadn't heard about this. So is this a new government initiative that migrant refugees and migrant workers
Yes. I don't think refugees. I think, from what I'm understanding, is for migrant workers and also for students, but I think right now we're focusing on migrant workers. So they were told that the government of Canada is accepting 30,000 applications, but in order to submit your application, you first have to pass an English test is required. And if you pass the test, then you can independently apply for permanent resident in the country. And I find it very, very difficult for these people. A lot of people that are here are not able to pass the test. So to me, it's just something that got thrown up in the air and it's not really working for the migrant workers.
Right, right.
In all honesty, because a lot of them are not able to pass the test. So their chance of getting in on that is sometimes nil.
So do you know how the standards for the test? Because I know that, for example, there's a fair number of migrant workers who come from places like Barbados, Jamaica, and they, of course, know English. Are they doing okay? Or is the English somehow, more formal so that even people who have grown up speaking English don't pass the test? Or is this just people from, say, Spanish-speaking countries? Or what do you mean by that?
No, it's even for those from the Caribbean, I find they're having a lot of difficulties because what they do for most migrant workers, they've said, well, you know, you don't, all you need is to be able to read and write the basics, right?
Mm-hmm.
In order to get on the program. No, you need more than the basic in order to pass this English test.
Oh, I see. So it's more, yes. It's more rigorous. It's more sort of advanced.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Do you know what people are doing to get, are people getting trained in English and lessons, or what's going on with that?
So there's no like formal training. They got to just go online and go on YouTube and download the practice tests.
Oh.
And try help yourself from that and hope to God that you go there and be able to do well. So not many of them are able to pass these tests. And a lot of them are trying to write. And it's, every time you go to write, it costs $335.
Oh, my goodness. What a scam. That's a scam.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to
me. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Yes, because like I know persons who wrote the test 3 times already.
Ugh.
One guy wrote it 4 times, fail. So, you know, and people are trying because for them, in all honesty, things are not as good as it sounds from where they're coming from. So if they could be able to live here and start a new life and help their family, it would be a lot of help to them. You know, but you're putting money into these tests that they're saying you have to pass, and it's just not working.
Yeah, and it's not like migrant workers have all sorts of extra time to practice English or extra money, because they're sending money back to their family. They have to pay for all sorts of stuff, food, and yeah, that's a scam. That just sounds terrible.
Correct.
To me.
Correct. Because they have to pay for food here. You have to pay for living accommodation wherever you stay. They take it out of your checks.
Wow.
So, you know, it all adds up.
So
what I would really like to see, in honesty, is the government, at least if you're coming for 10, 15, 20 years, 18 years, come on, offer somebody the opportunity with, I would say, for example, do a criminal background check on the person, and the person is legit and able to reside here, they should offer people like that residency in the country. Because they come and they labor for years and years and years, and that's good enough for Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, no, we don't want you living here.
Yeah, that's it's almost, it strikes me if I, you know, I don't necessarily trust the government, so this is the kind of thing I think about, but it's almost like it's designed for people to fail. It's designed for
exactly.
These people to not be able to do it. Yeah, that's just a terrible thing.
That's right. It is. That's how it is set up.
So what are you doing to...
You know, why would you ask...
Sorry, so you're driving...
Sorry?
So what are you doing to support people in this? You're driving workers from, say, Leamington all the way to Toronto sometimes for their tests? Is that what you said?
Yes.
So it's like a four-hour drive.
Right, a four-hour day, a four-hour back. Right now I have a person who's going next month to Brampton for his test. And I mean, who can afford a taxi to go to Brampton or get to Brampton for your first time in your life and figure your way around to go to a test center at 8:30 in the morning? You know, you just can't afford that. So
Lori,
I'll be driving.
Lori, I'm so impressed. Can you just tell me a bit about yourself? Because, you know, I don't know if you realize how special you are, but not everyone is helping migrant workers like this and taking all the time, 8 hours of their day to you know, for example, just this one thing you're doing. How did you get to this place? What's your sort of background, and what do you do for a living?
I'm in the field of nursing, and the thing about me, I'm a people person, right?
Mm.
I'm there to see people thrive. I'm there to see people do well. And whatever I can do to enhance someone's life to be a better life, you know, I will do it, because I don't even think of the initial person as the migrant worker who's here. I think of your family. You have children. You want to see people's kids get enough education, go to university, do well, become tomorrow's future, because that's who the kids are. They're tomorrow's future. So somebody got to help somebody along the line for things to work out for people as a family on a whole. And so for me, wherever I can help, I will always help.
Well, Lori, that's just wonderful.
Thank you.
If you had any power, I always ask people when, you know, because this interview is part of an ongoing series we have called Migrant Voices, which looks at the issues faced by migrant workers in Canada, and also, you like yourself, people who are there to help migrant workers. I always ask this question, which is, if you had political power, say you had the ear of politicians, What would you do to change the conditions in Canada or Ontario for migrant workers? What kind of things should the government be doing, do you think?
One of the things I would first and foremost look into changing is living accommodation for these migrant workers.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean?
I would change that. Not all the migrant workers live in places that are comfortable.
Right.
A lot of them are living in houses that aren't very uncomfortable for them. And they just got to stick with it because it is what it is when they get here. This is what you get put on your lap and you just got to deal with it or figure out to just leave and go home. So I would look into having that change. The other thing I would look into is that when they work as human, the whatever is called human rights should be exercised for all people in this country. They are not allowed to get overtime pay, or most of them don't get sick pay.
Right.
Don't get extra pay for holiday like normal Canadian people would. So to me, that's not fair treatment.
Right. So you would suggest that these kind of rights be extended to migrant workers, even though they're not citizens or landed immigrants or anything like that?
Exactly. Yeah. And also, when you're here, I'm here, if we have a regular job and say something happened and we're off for X period of time, we can file for unemployment. They don't have that privilege when they go home. They have no income for the time they're out of the country. And if they're here and something is going wrong, they're scared to speak up because they know, well, if you're the person who complains about your living accommodation or your situation the way it is, you will not be called to come back.
You won't be invited back, yeah. That's right. That's right.
No.
Yeah.
Yes, that is just, to me, not good.
Yeah, it's quite brutal. Do you have any sense of how, because you said you're in nursing, do you have any sense of how COVID-19 has affected migrant workers specifically, say people that you talk to in Leamington, for example?
What I know firsthand about that situation was that even when they come initially since the COVID situation and they are in isolation, the treatment was not all that good.
Mm.
People were staying hungry because, you know, nobody cared about, oh, make sure they get whatever it is. Because, say, for example, my background, I'm not the kind of person who have a sandwich for my supper, right?
Mm.
And if you're going to give these grown guys sandwiches for supper, of course, they're going to stay hungry. And if that's what's dropped off and that's what you got to eat, and sorry, you're out of luck for that day. To me, that is just not the way you treat people.
No, it's...
Yeah. And especially, I know for sure, if they don't have the migrant workers' hand from all these places that they're coming from to help out here, we in this country, especially here in Ontario, we would be really suffering for vegetables because the Canadian people won't go do that job, right?
Right.
They won't. So they wouldn't have anyone to do anything. And that is why they should take in consideration that these guys are really, really, really a vital importance in our society here in Canada. But very few people see it that way.
Do you think, here's a question for you, Laurie. I mean, you're a person who finds out about the plight of migrant workers and then does something about it. Do you think that if, I don't know how to phrase this. The sense I get when I talk to migrant workers and I talk to people like yourself who support migrant workers is that conditions are so bad for migrant workers, but the problem is that no one knows about it. Do you think if, say, quote, normal Canadians, unquote, Canadian citizens knew what was going on in the lives of migrant workers, do you think that would change things? Do you think it's just the fact that people are ignorant?
You know what? I would say yes and no. Yes, it would probably change things because they would have more people to speak up and bring help to them. No, because the situation that they're in, again, I'll say, repeat myself, they are being intimidated by these owners of the farm.
Mm.
Like, to the point where they are scared to speak up about your own rights. So that's how it is.
Have you found resistance from owners at all in your help for these people? Like, are you allowed on the grounds of the farms? Are you are people afraid to take your help, for example, as migrant workers? Has there been any trouble like that, or is it all just fine? You just show
the work. The workers themselves will take my help now, and like the only reason is because the owners are not aware of me, because when I'm among them, I don't go as part of the Justice for Migrant group.
I see.
And that's the only way I'm accepted. But the minute, you know, they get aware and all that, no, you will not be welcome.
Right. Do you never get the sense that workers are afraid to be associated with you or accept your help because there'll be repercussions? You aren't at that point. It's fine. You come on. You visit the farm. You give. You were saying clothing and all sorts of help.
Yes. And they too caution me. Don't speak to me about certain things about with other people present. But I'm aware of that. I know that. But they straight up. Warn you, don't, because they are scared that of retaliation, right?
Right.
So they will tell you, you know, even say question about your situation and conditions on the farm. They don't want to speak to you next to someone.
Yeah, it's just brutal.
It is brutal.
Yeah.
Even say, for example, with the weather condition, some days. You know, in greenhouses, it's extremely hot to begin with. But when you get a very hot day, it's worse, right? You would think they would allow extra breaks because of the heat. Not all farms do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Canadians realize what's going on as people are working to ensure that there's cheap vegetables on their tables. I mean, because that just sounds like out of the 1800s or something, or like it sounds like the kind of thing that has been outlawed, and yet here it is right under our noses.
Exactly. I think a lot of people are not aware.
Yeah. So, Lori, can you just before I let you go, and thanks so much for talking to me today. It really is amazing to hear the kind of work you're doing. Can you just tell me all the stuff you're doing? You said that you're helping drive people for their English tests. You're helping with, you were saying winter clothes, I think you said.
Winter stuff for winter time. Like, say, for example, right now, I'll lend somebody a tablet so they can get on to have access to study for the English test.
Right. Oh, so actual equipment like a computer.
Yes, or a tablet, whatever it is that you can help them with. You know, they appreciate it because they need a way of getting online to have a look at these tests before you just go there not knowing what you're getting into.
That makes me think of another thing, which is, in your experience, what kind of access to communication do the workers have? Like, in terms of cell phones, in terms of access to the internet, Wi-Fi, any of that? Do workers have much of that kind?
I'm understanding that they have some internet access, but what happened most time is, you know, everybody's gone to work. We all come home at the same time. And so the system gets overloaded. So the connection is not good at that point in time when everybody's using it.
I see.
Yes.
I see.
And some people don't have like a local number when they get here because they don't want to get into having a phone contract or a phone that is an added bill because they need that money to send to their family, so they keep their phone and just be able to connect when there is internet with their regular phone that they have.
Right.
So on a daily basis, not everybody can reach them unless it's an internet connection and they have Wi-Fi access at that point in time.
Right. So you're helping with tablets, you're helping drive people, you're helping with winter clothes in the winter. Anything else? What about sort of access to food or
We do, like, when they're new, like, when they get here in the beginning, we try to just give them a little bit of food to last them for a week or so till they get to the grocery store and all that.
I'm sorry, you said we. So it's you and whom else? Are you talking about Justice for Migrant Workers or friends of yours? Or?
Yeah, friends.
I see.
Two other friends. Yeah.
Oh, so there's a group of you. You're like the three musketeers of... the help you're helping.
Yes.
That's amazing. Are they, is that a connection through the church or?
No. This is a connection through family.
Oh, I see. Okay. I get it. Yeah. God, it really sounds like you're doing just absolutely tremendous work, Lori, and good for you. And keep up the good work and kudos to you. I'm really, really, really impressed.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks.
And I'd like. Do you have any plans? You said you're driving someone to Brampton next week. Are there any other specific plans you have vis-a-vis the migrant workers coming up for this year? Any specific ideas that you things you're going to be doing?
Well, we stay connected, and we're trying to sort out stuff for those who we know will be back here in February. Because when they come in February, if they're new first time, then it's really cold here. When you're here for the first time to experience winter,
yeah.
You're not prepared. You don't know what to expect. So we kind of...
Because most of these workers are coming from hot climes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of put things in place for them.
That's great. Anyway, Lori, thank you so much for taking time out to speak to me today.
You're very welcome. And thanks for having me.